200 years ago, Mary Shelley published Frankenstein, which is widely considered the scariest book ever written. NPR is celebrating that masterpiece with a horror-themed summer readers poll. Listeners nominated their favorite spine chillers, a panel of experts then weighed in, and the list of the scary 100 is now up, and we're going to link you to it at hereandnow.org. Petra Mayer is an editor with NPR Books. Petra, thanks for speaking with us.
Always a pleasure.
There's a little rumor going around here that you're kind of a scaredy cat, so I just want to make sure you're okay with this assignment.
Rumor, my pale, shivering hiney. That's not a rumor. I'm very upfront about the fact that I'm a gigantic horror wuss.
Okay, so you had to read a lot of horror. And let's start with the most famous one on the list, probably Frankenstein, 200 years old, in many ways just as scary today as it was in 1818. What did Mary Shelley get right about horror?
Well, I think she nailed an essential fear and a thing that was happening in 1818 as much as it is today, because the crux of Frankenstein, right, is the idea that human ingenuity, human achievement, human technological advancement is far outstripping our responsibility or our ability to control the technology. You know, she was writing around the time of the Industrial Revolution. Now we're in an era where technology is just racing ahead of our ability to legislate or even to think about everything that's going on. I mean, that's a fear that never really goes away. As long as science is advancing, Frankenstein will be with us.
Okay, so relevant today. It also, of course, inspired this reader's poll, which we want to make clear. This is not a ranked list, and it's also not a list of listener favorites. So, I mean, what is it? How did you do this?
What it is it's a curated list that's a combination of listener nominations and input from our panel of expert judges. We open up the polls for people to nominate their five favorite titles in whatever genre we're doing. And then we take those thousands and thousands of votes and I kind of whittle them down to semi-finalists. That's a list of about 250. That goes to the judges. And then we have this super epic conference call where we all get on the phone and it takes hours. This year, actually, it was 2.5 hours, which is our record speed. And we cut that list down to usually about 75, and then we build it back up again with input from the judges so that there's more balance and interest and it can be a real tool for discovery. And then that final list of 100 is what you'll see on the page.
Okay, and I'm making an educated guess here, but I am thinking that the name Stephen King came up quite a bit.
Oh boy, did it. Yeah, so we got close to 7,000 votes, and I counted. Stephen King was 1,023 of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So in past years, we've kind of, because it's a list of only 100, we tend to not want people on the list more than once. A few years ago, we did the romance poll. We asked people for their favorite romance novelist, and Nora Roberts, who's pretty much the Stephen King of romance, got on the list twice. We coined the Nora Roberts rule for her. So this year, it's the Stephen King corollary. We're allowing authors on the list to have one novel and one short story because so much horror is in short story format. So for Stephen King, the book of his that got the most votes was The Shining. And then the judges decided that his most representative story was The Body, which of course is the basis for Stand By Me.
Really? Now that's interesting because The Body, it's been a few years since I've read it, isn't a typical piece of horror.
No, it's not. And I will say right now also that a lot of things on the list are not straight horror. There are things that have a toe in horror or are commenting on horrors. But yeah, it's not really what you would consider a horror story. Although when I asked the judges, Grady Hendrix said something along the lines of, well, it's got a dead body in it and it's about how scary it is to grow up. So
yeah, true.
That's horror. I mean, we have a whole category for real world horrors, right?
Okay, what about another name on the list here? H.P. Lovecraft. I did a little bit of research on this writer before we spoke. Not a great guy. In fact, he was outwardly racist. Why did you decide to include him?
Yeah, sure. Lovecraft was gross. Lovecraft was a bigot even by the standards of his own time. But he is also foundational to modern horror. In past years, we have actually cut people from the list because their work did not stand the test of time. In this case, I was guided by the judges, and they felt that it was important to include Lovecraft because there are a lot of authors today who are in conversation with him. I mean, first of all, he created a cosmology that became an entire genre, Lovecraftian horror, cosmic horror, the idea of elder gods and scary things from beyond the stars that drive you insane. I mean, that is a huge viable genre of modern horror. And there are authors, for example, Victor Laval, whose book The Ballad of Black Tom is on the list. who are taking Lovecraft's work. In the case of Victor Laval, he took a story called The Horror at Red Hook, which is A, a terrible story, and B, one of Lovecraft's most unrepentantly racist works. And he flipped it so that the horror comes from the racism, and he built something new and interesting and angry and strange with it. So I think because Lovecraft, I mean, we have to acknowledge how repellent his ideas are, but we also have to acknowledge that he's still a vital part of horror and that there are authors now who are building on him to create works that are really interesting and valuable.
Now, I know you had a bunch of interesting, great judges that helped you go through this long list of books, but I want to ask you personally, the scaredy cat in the room, what your favorite was.
This may not come as a surprise. It is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
the kids series.
The kids series. So the thing with this, though, it's not the stories themselves, which are kind of garden variety urban legends. You have to have the version with the original illustrations because those will hollow out your brain and live there. They're terrifying. They're these black and white watercolor blobby. If you see them, you'll know them. You probably saw these when you were a kid and they probably give you nightmares. They reissued the book a couple years ago with like updated cutesy illustrations. No. It's got to be the original.
All right. It's the NPR Summer Readers Poll with Petra Mayer of NPR Books. Petra, thanks for reminding me that there still is time this summer to read before the leaves start turning.
Absolutely. There's always time to read.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.